Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Time for PM Team Weekend in Review in 15 minutes or thereabouts, 20 minutes, we'll say. TJ Watt, Donnie, the disrespect continues unabated for Timothy Jimothy Watt. They just don't respect him nationally like we do here. It's like an inverse, it's like a reverse Tomlin situation with TJ Watt. Pony just feisty as hell about it on Twitter. I like to imagine him like lecturing Stella going, this is why you can't trust these people's opinions on sports. Because there was one I saw, one he saw, and I want to get into it. It's kind of like a goofy, fun little discussion to have. I was actually, you know what I did before we get to Weekend Review? I watched the show on YouTube this morning, Crowley, with Kabali in there, and participated kind of by texting Crowley things like undercutting his points or like taking things he said and just posting them directly to Twitter. But it got me, like, what I was saying to him got me also thinking about Watt. So I've got a bunch of different, like, TJ Watt-related things that aren't just about, oh, was it a good sign of the contract or not? So we have that coming up for you. I think that's a good sales pitch, myself. All right, what did you have for your TGIF last week, Don? What was it? You were going on a little road trip, my friend.
Yeah, that was the trip down to D.C., went to Nats Park on Saturday.
Thoughts?
That was pretty much it. I like the park. I mean, we didn't.
Did you notice it's weird that it's sunk down into like the ground, kind of? Like, did you notice that you can walk surface level streets and you're going down
ground level? Yeah, yeah. And it's down in. I feel like
City Field is like that too.
The stadium in Buffalo is like that too.
The Bills Stadium is dug down in. There's a lot more that are like that. There's just none that are like that here. Pony said City Field in Queens is like that, but Nats Park was the first one I had ever gone to where the surface of the field is so clearly below street level. It was very disorienting for a second.
Yeah, we didn't get to stay for the whole game because I have a niece that is 3 years old, and it also came along
did you and Sarah just take her
hour
by yourselves?
It was like a whole family deal
affair
here.
Gotcha.
Rode the metro down. And the game was delayed by over an hour for like a very, very, very light rainfall, which was kind of annoying. It went from a 6:40 start time to 7:50. So we didn't get to stay for the entire game, but kind of neat. I mean, just cool to check off another ballpark there. A pretty funny promotion that they had. Nats basketball jersey tops. So I took one of those babies home.
Yeah, I think I saw you wearing that. Yeah. What was it, just like a generic, like, no name on the back?
Yeah, and the number was just 25 for the year.
For the year, that makes sense. Okay. My brother went to school in D.C., so he's almost 5 years older than me, but he went to college in D.C. at a Catholic University of America, of all places. And we would go down there to visit sometimes, and you said you rode the Metro, which obviously, like, I've ridden that Metro many a time. And I never forget going down there, probably 16 years old, paying a visit. And one of the stops on the Red Line, I think like one of the furthest stops was Shady Grove, was what it was called. That was the last stop. But the guy doing the voiceover, you know, Red Line, you're on the Red Line. His accent made Shady Grove sound much more like a different word that the FCC does not like us using. And every time I heard it, I was like, how am I the only person hearing it? He's calling it Bleepy Grove here. He ain't calling it Shady Grove. Be like, Red Line. You know, like, every time. This is a city of millions of people. And how are nobody else hearing this?
I feel like when you are a regular on those things, you pretty
you zone
much
out.
Check out
oh, yeah,
everything
you check
else.
Out. Yeah, you check
you,
out.
You can almost tell who has not been on those a whole lot.
Oh, the people who are like, what do I do? When do I pull my brake from my stop? Oh, yeah.
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 Every
time I go to a big city now, I'm like, man, figure it out as fast as possible because you don't want to look like a tourist who doesn't know what the hell they're doing down there.
Yeah, because most people just get on there. They probably have headphones on. They've completely checked out everything else. And
correct.
They just sit right down or they stand.
This is kind of in the pre-wires headphones era, too, where it's harder to check out a little bit like that. All right. So you enjoyed it, though. Where would you rank Nats Park? You've only been to a handful outside of...
I mean, and unfortunately, all of the other ones I've gone to are pretty nice or notable for one reason or another. So, I mean, that one is unfortunately going to take up last out of the I guess, five, or would we just say the four outside of PNC Park? But the other ones, like I was saying Friday, Fenway, Progressive, Camden Yards, I feel like would be relatively high on pretty much anybody's list.
Yeah, Nats Park is fine. It's nothing, in my opinion, like nothing special. Certainly not as nice as any of the places you went, although my experience at Fenway, the game was pretty crazy, but I think it was like 97 degrees. The humidity was about 200%.
When was this?
I think I was going
on the game that Nomar hit four home runs?
It was the game where he hit like three in a row and the crowd was booing. They beat the Rays like 22-4, and the crowd was booing the Rays pitcher on the third straight at bat. Because Garcia Parra hit it two in a row, and I don't know if the bases were loaded. They couldn't have been loaded. One of the home runs was a grand slam in my recollection. He went 3-0 the next at bat, and everyone was like booing him for the same reason. Like, throw the guy a strike, you wuss. And this is probably why Boston fans have like an inflated opinion of themselves. They started cheering or booing him so loudly, he actually did throw a strike 3-0, and Garcia Parra just destroyed it right out of the park. Like, it was out of a movie. But I think I was like 16 or 17 going into maybe my junior or senior year, and we were trying to look at colleges, I think. And I thought for some reason it would be cool to go to UConn because I like the basketball team.
I mean, they have a ton of schools up there, like just in the city.
Okay, UConn basically didn't have like a journalism school on their campus. I was like, well, got to cross that one off. They show you like Gamble Pavilion, the big arena. And then I was like, yeah, can't go here. This is in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, my weekend in review. Scottie Scheffler, man, just I said I was going to watch it, just off the charts. Four-time major champion. He's climbing the list. He wins another one. He'll join Rory, Koepka, Seve, Peter Thomson. Probably a lot of you don't know that name. Byron Nelson. I said the 1,197 days thing since he, between first major and fourth, Tiger with the same thing, albeit Tiger was like 21 to age 25 versus 26 to 29 for Scotty. Scotty from 2022 through 2025. This is from Kyle Porter. Who writes a golf blog called Normal Sport, which is very good. 81 events for Scotty, 20 wins, 4 majors, 2 players championships, which those guys think is like a bigger deal almost than the PGA in a sense because it's their thing. 2.8 strokes gained per round over the field on average. So 3 shots better than the average player, okay? Tiger from 02 to 05, 79 events, 18 wins, 4 majors, no players, 2.8 strokes gained per round. Now, Tiger the 2 years prior to that was like on another plane.
Yeah, because
existence.
I saw some people say, well, do Tiger cut, from 99 to 02.
Yes, exactly. It's not using Tiger's prime. I will say this. It is very fashionable to say when somebody gets on a heater, like Koepka's built for the majors, and when he was winning him, it's like, man, I thought this guy was like the next Tiger. Scotty is now very obviously the best player since Tiger. It's not close. He's also like an elite putter. He's so... I think he's a really thoughtful guy, but he is one thing he will not be is like great for golf broadly, like Tiger was, where people started to play and merch picked up and prize pools and purses for tournaments went through the roof. Like if you went back and looked at what somebody made for winning like the Masters in 1995, you'd be shocked at how little money it is.
He's not the rock star that.
Because he doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I mean, my family.
He's kind of a guy.
He's like, my family's what I like the most and what I get fulfillment from. And yes, I like winning golf tournaments, but it lasts for 2 or 3 minutes and then I'm good. But like, he had to like clarify those remarks. And I don't know, man. The other thing is Tiger would have all the flair. He would give the big follow through and he would do all this. He was a showman for
yep,
sure.
The Sunday Red.
All of it. Tiger just knew how to put on a show and he was very emotional. Scotty, it's like you've played golf, so you know, but like I think it's you have to like kind of commit to playing the sport a lot. He hits so many shots that look on TV like, oh, yeah, he hit it 15 feet away. That's cool. But if you have any sense of like what is going on going into that shot, you're like, geez, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Scotty's almost like a killer on the course.
He is.
He's just like emotionless.
Oh, he's a robot.
He got a little bit frustrated at Oakmont, but everybody did. I mean, Wyndham Clark got banned from the place for beating up a locker.
Two lockers.
But Scotty, it's like very little emotion. It's almost like Heath Miller, like making a big play. He would like make a big putt this weekend. He'd give like one little fist pump. That's about it.
He made like two par putts and a birdie putt, all like 15 footers in a row. That used to be what he sucked at was putting. He switched to like a mallet putter and he uses this grip called the saw where his one hand on most of his shorter putts.
Yes, I've noticed that.
That's a lot of guys use that on tour. I've tried it. It's if you're good with it, you're really good with it. He is like completely, in a way, divorced from the process, from like whether he wins or not. He wants to win, but if this makes sense, he's said before that he's essentially just trying to hit the right shot at every time, and like that's what he's chasing. If you can, anyone that's ever taught golf set will tell you, if you can do that for putts, let alone all your shots, I don't care if it goes in, this is how I want to hit it. And if I hit it and it goes in, great. If I don't, if it doesn't go in, fine. I just want to hit the shot or hit the putt the way I want to hit it. It's like another plane of existence. He's got a chance to win 10 to 12 majors. Like, because here's, people will say, oh, it's sacrilegious, don't compare him to Tiger. Tiger won his 14th major, so he's won 15. He won his 14th major when he was almost 33. Summer of 08, he would have turned 33 that December. He's born on December 30th, 75. He beat Rocco at Torrey Pines. He didn't win another major until he was 43 at Augusta in 2019. Mm-hmm. He went a decade without winning jack squat. He was hurt, all the marital stuff. Willing to bet Scottie Scheffler is going to do a lot better from age 33 to 43 than Tiger did. Can't say it for sure. Willing to bet it's going to happen. Willing to bet he's not going 0 for his 30s, basically, on majors.
Yeah, he's a monster.